Have you ever been lost in the woods? You didn't know how off course you were until it was too late to simply turn around. It happens slowly, doesn't it? Realizing that you're lost? First a small anxiety, a voice in the back of your mind, whispering that something isn't quite right. You ignore it for a while. After all, you've never gotten lost here before. You see a boulder you could have sworn you'd already passed. You must be mistaken. Then your map isn't lining up with your path anymore, and the skyline looks all wrong. Eventually, there's no denying the truth. What a sinking feeling to finally admit that you are adrift, alone. But you found your way out eventually, didn't you? What a relief to break from the tree line and see the sun shining down on familiar ground. You are one of the lucky ones. Not every lost soul makes their way back out of the woods. We invite you to take a step off the path with us through these haunted hollows. Part 2, The Soil.
1 week later, he dreamt of the tree. The young man had spent the last 7 days caught between contempt and twisted desire. At one moment, he would curse the memory of his grandmother for tricking him into indulging such a ridiculous fairy tale. At another, he would find himself fervently believing that soon he would hear news of a particular young woman and of a particularly unhappy fate that had befallen her. Throughout it all, his sleep had been untroubled and dreamless. It was therefore quite a shock when, on that seventh night, he was at one moment laying in his bed, and the next moment, standing outside in the cold and the dark. He looked about in surprise. There was nothing except thick fog and the huge, twisted trunk of the honey locust tree. It loomed before him, and the darkness bore down around him a tangible weight on his shoulders. Even the air itself felt alien, sliding slowly down his throat like a thick syrup after every breath. All of it, the darkness, the air, the fog, seemed to emanate from the honey locust's gnarled trunk and its black, reaching branches. He dropped his gaze, suddenly unable to bear the sight of the tree. He saw his bare feet, soles pressed into the dry earth. Only then did he sense movement, a gentle, repeating rhythm beneath him. The sound rose from deep within the earth, up through his feet and into his ears. There was no mistaking it. The soil pulsed with the beating of some large, terrible heart. The young man awoke with a start, drenched in sweat despite the morning's chill. It was nothing, he told himself, just a nightmare, random, meaningless. He pushed it from his mind and went about his day. The next night, he dreamt of the tree once more. It stood before him and he was gripped by the same nameless dread. He cried out, but the sound was swallowed by the persistent that pulsated around him. He turned his back to the tree and fled into the fog. He ran until he could no longer draw breath, then stumbled and fell upon his knees. Head down, lungs burning, he watched as the surrounding fog drifted away in slow, winding tendrils. He looked up. He was kneeling at the foot of the honey locust tree. The young man woke, cold and unsettled. On the ninth night since he had sought the thorn, he downed a glass of whiskey before crawling into bed. He lay awake, staring at the ceiling. I am not some pathetic child, afraid of the dark, he told himself. The whiskey's numbing warmth made the previous night feel far away and hazy. This nonsense would end tonight. He was sure of it. He closed his eyes. And when he opened them, he was back in the forest. This is a dream, he thought, as the twisted boughs of the tree drooped over his head and the unnatural heart beat beneath him. This is a dream, and I will wake up now. But still the tree was before him, and now it creaked and groaned as a bitter wind swept through its leaves. Following the wind was a chill and sudden rainfall. It soaked through his clothes in seconds, and he trembled with cold and fear as the inside of his mind screamed, "Wake up! Wake up!" The rain seeped into the thirsty earth until the soil was dark and bloated, pools of muddy water rising around his bare feet. Thorn bushes began to sprout up around him like a sick parody of flowers, jagged and slick. He wanted to run, but was rooted to the spot. He tried to look away, but couldn't blink, even as the rain continued to stream down his face and into his eyes. The thorns were growing, twisting, moving closer. "It's just a dream," his thoughts insisted. "It's just a dream. It's just..." The ground rumbled and cracked, then thorns burst forth from beneath him. They pierced the soles of his feet, tearing upward through muscle and tendon until their sharpened points emerged from his skin, wet and shiny with his blood. He woke up screaming. He sat up and ripped away his blankets, certain he would find a pool of blood around his shredded feet. But he found nothing. There were no wounds, no pain, only a lingering sense of unease that followed him as he left the bed and walked out of his house into the bright sunlight. He wanted answers. He spent the day wandering the village, finding anyone who would listen and asking them what they knew about honey locust trees. He asked the grocer, the carpenter, and even swallowed his distaste long enough to ask the priest. The grocer told him the pods of the honey locust tree were edible, and that the pulp inside was rich and sweet. "Are you interested in purchasing some?" she asked. "Perhaps to sweeten your tea? I can give you a sample if you'd like." He watched as she pulled a small jar out from underneath her counter and scooped out a soggy, pulpy mass. "Try it," she said, holding it out toward him. "It's really quite delicious." The young man watched as a drop of pulp dripped from the spoon and fell, wetly, onto the counter. He swallowed down the sudden bile in his throat and left without a word. The carpenter was even less helpful, prattling on about how the timber of the honey locust tree was surprisingly durable and unusually resistant to rot. "That is, of course," he chuckled, "if you can get around the thorns first. Nasty business, those thorns." The priest didn't even give him an answer. He just stared at the young man for what felt like an age. Except he wasn't actually looking at him, not really. The priest's gaze was fixed over the young man's shoulder, as if watching something that followed just behind. Then he crossed himself and turned away. "Useless," the young man seethed. "They were all useless." That night, he drank the entire bottle of whiskey before passing out in his bed. He awoke some time later to the sound of birds chirping and light streaming in through the window. His sleep had been dreamless. Satisfied, he threw off his blankets and swung his feet out from the bed. His head throbbed with the after effects of the alcohol, but not even that was enough to sour his good mood, until he looked down. His feet were caked with mud. The pain reached him then, through the lingering fog of the whiskey. It shot up from his soiled feet like lightning, unrelenting even as he brushed at the filth with his hands. As the flakes of dirt and dried blood came loose under his fingers, long, thin scratches were revealed, the wounds raw and deep across his soles. Angry and confused, he stood up, trying to ignore the agony as he staggered through his house. The rest of his small home was pristine. No muddy footprints, not a drop of blood. The door was shut and as securely locked as it had been when he'd gone to sleep the night before. The next few days passed in a fog. He tried to eat, but every bite of food turned to a thick, pulpy sweetness in his mouth. He tried to sleep, but his dreams were saturated with the looming tree, the violent darkness. Worse still were the dreamless nights, for even though he lashed himself to his bed, even though he bolted and barricaded his door, still he would wake in a mess of blood and dirt, his body bruised and punctured. The days bled into the nights, and the nights stuttered back into morning again and again and again, until one evening the young man found that he could no longer bear even the sight of his bed. The four walls of his house seemed to be folding in around him, suffocating him, driving him out of the door and into the chill autumn air. Half starved and half delirious from the lack of sleep, he wandered through the village. Every step was agony on his shredded feet, and every time he blinked, he saw the shape of the honey locust tree, watching him from behind his eyelids. Watching and watching, waiting. Someone from the village approached him, but though he could see their lips moving, all he could hear was the creaking of branches, the rustling of leaves in the wind. What were they trying to say? Did it even matter? He shoved past them, pressing on further into the night, away from the streets and the lights and the houses. Was he dreaming? He didn't think so. The pain of his wounds was so real, and the bite of the wind cut through his clothes like a dagger. And yet his legs carried him onward and onward, dreamlike, until he found himself at the edge of the woods. Whether it was some strange conjuration of the forest that drove him deeper into the tangle of trees, or whether it was his own compulsion to see this nightmare finished, he could not say. Over and over, his grandmother's words echoed in his head. "It is the tree which shall mend you. Lightning split the sky above him, but he barely noticed. Frigid rain began to fall, but it did nothing to hinder his steps as he pressed onward, retreading the same path that had set this fate in motion. The forest gathered around him, and all at once he could perceive both everything and nothing. He could hear every snake slithering in the underbrush, every crunch of bone between the teeth of every predator, every creeping fungus that spread from within rotting wood, and yet still all of it was muffled, wrapped in a terrible, rain-drenched silence. Then his bare, bloody feet carried him once more up the hill, where the honey locust tree towered above him. He wanted to scream. He wanted to beg, to pray, to demand the tree tell him what it wanted, why it tormented him so. He opened his mouth, but all that escaped past his lips was a thick sludge of mud, coughed from deep within his throat, and still the tree loomed in silence, impassive, immutable. For a moment the tree seemed to swell and grow taller, but then the young man realized no, it was he who was descending, his feet sinking into the wet soil at the base of the gnarled trunk. Deeper and deeper he sank, as the wind howled and thunder shook the canopy of branches above. He clawed desperately at the tree, but found no purchase there, only chunks of bark that flaked off beneath his scraping fingernails. He was shoulder deep in the muck now, stretching out his arms to clutch at twisted roots, howling with rage and terror. Clusters of black thorns filled his vision. The sharp, wicked spines seemed to pierce the sky itself until nothing remained but endless jagged scratches. It was the last thing the young man ever saw, for with its final act of retribution, the earth opened its maw and the soil engulfed him. The young man was not missed. He was not mourned. And when the villagers foraged in the woods the following autumn, scraping out the pulpy fruit from within the leathery pods of the honey locust trees, they all agreed that in all the years before, their harvest had never been quite so sweet.
Strange.
The forest has its own justice. In an unjust world, perhaps that's a comfort. If you happen to dream of the honey locust tree tonight, remember that not all omens bring ill tidings. We hope you'll stay with us on our continuing search for answers through these haunted hollows.